So this morning we're going to be talking a little bit of reflection around missions, around global people sending and going, carrying the gospel to different nations, different countries. I'll be speaking a bit about it, and then we're actually going to be having Jim Aldrich share, because he's going to be leading a team from this church to Colombia in the new year, to a Christian school down in Colombia to do some service there for 2 weeks. So as you hear him share and you hear him speak on his experiences there, he goes there every year for the last 20 years. I encourage you to pray about whether you should be going on this trip, whether God is calling you to step out and go on this trip, whether God is calling you to pray for the team that goes, whether God is calling you to support them financially. So he's going to be speaking in a little bit, and I'm sure you'll be blessed by it. I had an opportunity to do some global missions when I was about 19 years old, where I was going to go to India with a team of students and a professor. We were going to an area near Dehradun, up north, northern India, and we would be hiking through part of the Himalayas, and we'd be going to different villages at high altitudes that were largely never reached for or heard about the love of Jesus. So that's why we were going. And then we had about 8 months to prepare for this trip. And so we would be fundraising, we'd be praying about it. And also, because we were going to be at high altitudes, we're like, we need to get in better shape. So us as a team, us 10 students, would gather for early morning runs a couple times a week. I remember the first time we started running together, it was like December, and we got up at 5 a.m., go for a run, and it was snowing. We're like, oh, let's go back to bed. And so, but the next day, when it wasn't snowing, we got out for a run, and we still went running. But we started preparing for this trip. We started getting ready. We spent about 8 months, you know, preparing for this experience. And it was when I was on the plane, I was sitting next to my professor and we're about to head to India, I suddenly had a crisis of purpose. I asked him, like, why are we actually going to India? Because suddenly in my moment, I thought, you know, we're not going to build homes for people that need homes. We're not going to help in an orphanage. We're not going to teach in a Christian school. Like, we didn't have this sort of set agenda and something that we were going to be leaving behind once we were there and once we'd left India. And my professor, you know, Jeremy, graciously listened to my frantic crisis and said, you know, Christian, what we're doing is we're going to witness to our experience of Jesus's love and grace. We're going to go share that with the people. We're going to hear from local missionaries, and we're going to support those ones that are already going on in India. So you're going to go to help in that way. You're going to be going to these people groups to help teach. So you're doing something very, 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 very valuable. You're bringing the message of the love and grace of Jesus to people who may have never heard it. And if those who have, to maybe encourage them and deepen their relationship with God. So that softened my worry in the moment and encouraged me around, you know, why we were going to go. And there's a quote around sharing our faith, a quote around bringing the gospel to other nations that I love. It's by D.T. Niles, this pastor. He said it this way. He said, Christianity is about one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's recognizing that all of humanity needs a Savior and that we are each showing where this bread is found, who Jesus, the bread of life. So we left on this trip. We went to India. We were there for a month. And lots of incredible experiences happened there. We did a lot of praying with local missionaries. We met people who were from India who'd come out of religious oppression, become Christians, and now were being persecuted for their faith. Some had incredible stories of almost dying or being separated from their children for a time because they decided to choose Christ as their Savior and Lord. And we were just so encouraged by this trip. Now, I didn't build a physical home while I was there, but what this mission trip did do for me, it built a spiritual home in my heart for the value and the importance of global missions. That suddenly I was going, oh, right, this is what missionary work is about. Sometimes it's physically building something. Sometimes it's meeting with local missionaries and praying and encouraging them and hearing and saying their story matters. We met this one businessman and his family who'd been there 2 decades, and he moved there, started a carpet business, but what he was actually trying to do was start a church in New Delhi, one of the most difficult places to start a church, and that's what he was doing. He was just so encouraged that we were there to hear what he was doing and to pray with him. And while we were there, we felt like we were bringing to life more the great commission that Jesus gave. When he was resurrected, he met with his disciples and he told them this purpose, this commandment in Matthew 28, where it says this: "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And in lieu of that, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" That's what we've done this morning, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus promised, gives us clear sort of marching orders, gives us clear purpose and clarity around what we're called to do as his followers, and then gives us this beautiful promise that he's with us all the time. As the resurrected Lord was spending time with his disciples, he gave them this great promise that they would be empowered to share his love. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6, the disciples were still hoping for their own agenda. They had asked Jesus this. They said, they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Meaning, you know, are you going to get rid of the Romans that are overpowering us and we're going to be the ones who rule everything? So they still had their own agenda. And Jesus says to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And I love this picture there of Jesus saying, you know, how you're going to be empowered is in Jerusalem, your local context, meaning your Nanaimo area. And then in Judea and Samaria, a little bit further, a little bit of Vancouver Island, a little bit of BC, maybe further, and then to the very ends of the earth. It is a global mission. A fantastic scholar and pastor and writer named John Stott from England, he said it this way. He said, we must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. An awareness that bringing Christ to the nations means sometimes beyond our borders. And after Jesus gave them this teaching and saying, you know, you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, he then left them. He ascended back to heaven. It says in verse 9, it says this: "After he said this," Jesus said this, "he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, angels. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" So why are you still standing here? Like, Jesus has given you your marching orders. Jesus has clarified your purpose, your calling. Now go and do likewise. And they promised that Jesus would return to earth. In the meantime, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to share Christ in the local and the global context. It's why it's a part of our mission statement on the walls that we paint here. It's a mission statement that we are married to as a church body, that we embrace Christ's love and then we extend it to other people. We extend it to each other, our community, and beyond. And global missions is a part of the beyond component. I'd like to invite up Jim to come and share a little bit around Colombia and the mission there and what God is doing in this part of the world and the importance of it. Come on up, Jim. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Jim. I thank you for his passion for you, his love for you, his love for the scriptures. Thank you for blessing him with these experiences in Colombia and the leadership there. Pray as he shares that we would be informed and inspired. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was totally relating to that whole pina nap thing. So God bless you guys. So what's in the back? Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm just going to view this. I'm going to view this, right? Yeah. Oh, I love this technology. So, hell yeah, I'm Jim Aldrich. Very pleased to be here. I love coming. This is like my second home. My full designation is Jim Aldrich, SD. SD stands for Sasha's Dad. That's my segue into a lot of things. Is that I am Jim Aldrich, SD. It's always a blessing to be here, and it's a real honor to speak under the authority of your pastor, Christian. Columbia. So I noticed that you guys had a great little insert in your and there's a lot of information in it. Well,
never gotten a fat lip from a microphone before.
So there's a little insert in here. And it has all this information about the trip, the cost, etc. I think there's even some contact information there. And of course, after the service, you can talk to me as well. So I'm not really going to dive into that stuff. You guys got that information in front of you. But I'm going to tell you in the next little while, which I just about forgot, I have a timer. Otherwise, I can hold you here all day.
I'll shut it down.
That's right. Chasing me around. Like, this is there's no recording. I'm going to talk to you a bit about why you should go to Columbia with me. But first, I'm going to tell you a couple stories. And then part of this, I'm going to tell you a story about one of the a couple that came with me last July. But first, I'm going to tell you a story. Vocationally, I am a registered nurse. And that's how the Lord has chosen to have me put bread on the table and pay the bills. But I'm in management, and one of my very first management experiences was about 10 years ago. I was...
It died.
Did it die?
Here, use that one right there.
All right. Okay. The plan. Get me tied to there so you can't run. Can you hear me now?
It's coming. Don't worry.
All right. Where was I? All right. So anyways, I had a temporary assignment. I was wondering why my back was wet.
Just give me that one.
It'd be very embarrassing. How's that? All right. So I realized there was a baptismal there. I went up to, I accepted a temporary assignment to Northern Health Authority, and where I was going to be responsible for running two hospitals in Kidnapped Terrace. And so I went from a diploma nurse, frontline nurse, right up to now I'm in charge of something like 300 or 400 people, physicians, to running two hospitals. And I went up there because the chief operating officer knew me. She wanted me up there to help out. And in her words, I just need a bum in a chair for 3 months. That's exactly how she talked. So rough around the edges. And so I went up there. And so when I arrived, I went from like a floor nurse, frontline nurse, now I'm running two hospitals. And I go into my office there. And it's this cavernous office, which is larger than my apartment. And a secretary that's way smarter than I am. And I have this here stack of papers on my desk. And I looked at that, and the secretary says, "You have to get through this today." And she left the room, and I start to hyperventilate. And then I said, "Hyperventilating." I'm like, so I picked up the phone, and I called Marina. I said, "Marina." She says, "What?" I said, "Marina, I'm hyperventilating." She goes, "Oh, good grief, Jim. Just make decisions." That was the mentoring I received from Ren. But I had an epiphany that she trusted me. And she knew I would do well there. Remember, it's a temporary assignment, and so I did okay. And that's very much like our relationship with God in a lot of ways. So when we start to serve God, it's so awesome to see acts of obedience in the beginning of an awesome adventure. But every one of us is in an adventure that the Lord has designed for us. Right? And the Lord trusts us with what He's given us. And He puts you in a place where He's going to stretch you. Okay? I used to say, stress is my friend. Or stress is like that odd uncle that comes around once in a while, and you only want to visit a few. Oh, good to see you. No, it's time to leave. You know, so it's kind of like, anyway, so so that's why you always pick up an air mattress in your house. So, serving God is an adventure. The most important piece of serving God is obedience. Because without that obedience, following the direction of God, then you're not going to encounter those situations of growth. Because God knows what you need, and God knows what you want. And He's going to place you where He trusts you. He may seem to you at that time that this is freaking me out. I don't know if I can handle this, but if you have the confidence that God has sent you there, then you can go through anything. And the end result may not be what you think it is. This is the other thing, that in the economy of God, 1 + 1 does not equal 2. In God's economy, 1 + 1 equals infinity, 41, -5. But it's all for His purposes, right? For your benefit, but for the benefit of the world as well. And so some of you are asking, how does this relate to Columbia? Well, some of you here, God's been speaking to you, not everybody, and not everybody should go to Columbia. But you should consider if you think the Lord's telling you to go, you should consider this. You should be obedient to God. And lay that down for Him to take care of you when you're down there. Now, there's details around, you know, what requires the eligibility to go, all that kind of stuff. And if that seems like a barrier, you believe God wants you to go, you will go. It may not be tomorrow, may not be this year, but it will happen, because a lot of this is timing as well. But I want to tell you a story about a couple who very much are like this story. So this is my neighbors, Darren and Becky. Well, first of all, I should tell you that there's the map of Colombia, and you see that little red dot? Via Vicencio, it's not the star, you got Bogota. Is that big enough for you guys to see?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? And this is Via Vicencio. The big red dot is where we're going. It's a large city, but the school is on the outskirts of the city. But enough of those details. I know you guys can find Google Maps, and you can go in there and take a look. Or talk to me after. So Darren and Becky. So I moved to Penticton about 6 years ago, and Darren and Becky were my neighbors. Darren and Becky Ramsey. This is on our trip down there, so this is in July. Now, awesome couple. They're deacons in the church. They're leaders in the worship team, or Darren led the worship there. Becky works in a bank. Darren was working in a sign company. They have two sons, two teenage boys. Now, last year, Darren went with me out of obedience to God. Now, this is way out of Darren's comfort zone. He went down with me. And then the Lord really used him, and it just it affected him deeply. So when he came back, him and his wife both thought that they should go. So this is that trip. Now, Becky always wanted to do global missions. Never did. But always had that desire in her heart. And she always felt for a long time that it would be a global mission associated with a Latin American country. So it's very interesting that it ended up being Columbia. So anyways, on the trip there, Darren had just gotten off work. Now we're flying out, you can tell it's Darren's second trip and Becky's first, because Becky is wide-eyed and full of adrenaline and taking in all experiences, and Darren's going, yeah, I've been here, done that. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. So then when we get there, again, you can tell Darren's been there before. Becky's looking back at me and going, are we really going in the right direction here? This is kind of freaking me out. This is a long road, and I don't know what's at the end. And that's a lot of what happens when you go down there, is that it's a foreign experience. Now, down at the end, so there's the farm where we're leaving, and the way down that road is the school. And you know what? One of my models for going down there is it's safer every year. This year we got to walk down the road rather than go down in the car. So it's got its risks, but it's safe. So you can see Becky's kind of like, I don't know what's expected. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. And she's looking back for assurances, and I'm sending them ahead in case something happens. Oh, you're good. Just keep going farther. Yeah. So, anyways. And that's what's waiting for me on the other end. I had to throw in a gratuitous picture. So But there's the children there, these are the K's, the kindergarten group. Now, we'll pause here for a minute, and I want to talk a little bit about obedience. And so scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice, right? And how the act of obedience is really what is crucial to your walk in God. The results are in God's hands. Our part is to be obedient to what He wants us to do. And obedience in the context of what God wants us to do and what God wants to happen, not what we expect. So you can be obedient to come down to Columbia, and you may expect to do this and do that, but that may not be what God wants you to do. And so one of the things I was meditating on is that in my experience with Columbia, and I can only really speak from experience of Colombians and Colombian culture, is that when you go down there to serve, you go to serve under their timetable, you go to serve under their culture, you serve under their perspective. Oh my goodness, it's already done. I better get rolling here. Okay. I guess one of the things I want to prepare people for is that you have to be ready to be obedient to God so that you do nothing. So one of the things that we have is that when we go down these countries, we want to do something. And we go with a purpose. We want to go and build something. We want to go teach somebody. We want to do stuff. But when you get there, God may have designed it so that you do nothing. And that can very much happen down there. I mean, I've had teams down there, and we're sitting around. We're going to start at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to build this structure, and we sit around until noon. And for our culture, that's very frustrating. Can't these people get their act together and get things going? Right? But that's not the point. The point is you're going because God told you to go. And your presence there is what God is after. Uh-huh. Not so much what you do. Uh-huh. It's that you've done it. That you've gone there because God's told you to do. And you open yourself up to whatever the Lord has for you there. That's for everything. But in Columbia specifically, it's going to be challenging. Because it's going to be outside of your cultural biases and outside of your norm. And it's going to be hot. And you're going to think you're not productive, but the very act of you going out of obedience to God is productive in the kingdom of God. And that alone will act as a way to further your knowledge of the Lord and your relationship with God. Yeah, move on quickly here. There we go. There's, so far I have to look back because I can't see that. Well, that's Becky teaching that young kids, so there'll be opportunities to teach the girls, and she was teaching them English, but also talking about other topics. And there's those young girls there. So you'll go up to grade 11. And then Darren got to teach the boys. You know, look at the difference there. There's that one boy sleeping there. This is so boring. God's challenging him. And then there's a picture afterwards. And then you see the other thing too is that you have to very well expect that. You have to be ready in season and out of season. So this is the circumstance where I said to Darren and Becky, oh yeah, by the way, they want you to talk in front of a local crew, crowd of people there. And they went, oh, when? I said, well, now. And they were ready. And there they are, teaching, talking in front of those people. And that's basically, that happened every day when you're down here, usually about noon when they hit the dirt, because it's a lot of hard work, it's very challenging, it will exhaust you. And it's not even nighttime when you're just crashed. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, that's a normal picture. All right, so just kind of in summary, if you come with me out of obedience to God, I guarantee you that your life will change. But your life will only change to the degree that you submit it to God. Right? When you're down there, as much as you want to serve as unto God, do things out of obedience to God, that's to the degree that you grow in Him. And you know, and I'm unashamedly, I'm looking for people who want to go down there for a long time. too, right? You know, so I'm going to be recruiting you. Things. I'm going to be arranging for stuff for you to do that will freak you out. But I guarantee a challenging experience. Anyways, I'm going to hand this back to you. And bless you.
Thank you, Jim.